Hi folks, this is All Things Product with Petra Wille
and Teresa Torres.
And we're so happy you're here.
Hey Petra, I know that you recently shared that you're seeing this trend that's a little bit concerning about people joining communities. I think they could be online communities. I think they could be in-person communities. And they're joining them from this mindset of what can I get out of this community, as opposed to what can I contribute to this community. So I wanted to talk to you more about your thoughts on how should we think about giving and taking in a community?
Yeah, that's a great topic. Thanks for bringing that up again. So maybe I need to give a bit of a background of what communities I'm part of, because it's many. So I'm definitely part of local communities and meetups here in Hamburg and in Germany. I, for example, run a big product conference, which in itself is a big community. So all the attendees, we see a lot of attendees happily coming back every year, which is amazing. So we have a bit of a community around that. Then there are things like product hangs that I'm a regular speaker or attendee of. So that's all these. And then we see, you and I are part of an online community. I'm part of 20 other online communities like that, Slack communities. I see it to be a worrisome trend to some extent. So first of all, the good thing is people understood that there is a lot of value in a community of practice. There's a lot of value in networking. There is a lot of value in being connected. Basically, everybody is part of social media, LinkedIn, all these kind of things, which is in itself a community. So that's the good news, I'd say. But I see more and more people just coming to the party, going to the buffet, eating all the food, and then leaving without contributing. So this is to some extent the notion that I get over the last, I don't know, year or so. I see this happen more often. People, for example, just like they want the reach that the community has, so they want to be on the stage or on this newsletter, but never ever engaging with the community beforehand to understand what the people are really interested about and what their current challenges are. I've really tried to be more vocal that community really needs to have this striking the balance of give and take to some extent, right? And that there is no real exchange. So it's not that I can join the community and bring something for the buffet, something little, and then immediately get something big in return. So this is not how it works. Sometimes it is years until you kind of get something in return, and we can unpack some real life examples if you want us to.
I think this is tied to the classic networking advice of you don't go to a networking event and just ask everybody what they can do for you, but you focus on connection and seeing how you can help other people, and then that gets paid forward eventually. And
is the important thing,
yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I see this a lot too. Like, I know I'm not the only one. I've seen a lot of people post on LinkedIn their frustration with everybody's now trying to build their personal brand. And a lot of people are using generative AI, and it's creating a lot of garbage, and it's not contributing to the conversation. And we don't have to get derailed by that topic in particular, but I do think it is very related. People are looking at social networks of how do I get reach, not how do I contribute to this community. Yeah. So maybe we can break this down a little bit. Like, one, I would like to get into why does engagement in a community matter? I'd love to get into, maybe we can share some real examples of how giving to a community created value later. And I can already think of one about how you and I met and what that's led to years later, right?
That's actually a nice example.
Yeah, but let's maybe share a little bit about why is it important for people to participate in these communities in the first place? Aside from this, I'm on LinkedIn to get reach. I'm going to this event because I want to be a speaker. What's inherently the value of being part of a community that isn't, I'm just going to take?
The answer to that is, and that it's a bit of a meta answer, but the answer is it's important to be part of a community because you don't know what will come out of you engagement in the community. And historically, and in my experience, it's way more than you would have anticipated if you really dare and show up for the people and yeah. for the challenges and for the problems. And it's super weird that all of us are, and even a lot of my coaches, which are product leaders, and a lot of the direct reports that they have, which are product people, product managers, product owners, however you call them. So basically everybody, as you were saying, is building their personal brand. So everybody does think about, could I write about this? Could I share this on LinkedIn? Does this make me look good? Which is the most boring motivation for creating content. The way better motivation for creating content is, ooh, we actually used this opportunity solution tree model and it actually worked. So maybe I can share with the broader public how we did it, where it was helpful, where it wasn't, because maybe out there, there are five other people that are working in our industry, that are working in a similar setup, that have the similar challenges, and I can unblock them with the learnings that I have. So that is an amazing motivation for writing about something, sharing what you do. And I would strongly encourage everybody to do this. So I'm not big. And I think there is a difference between self-promotion and sharing your work, showcasing your work so that it ideally helps others to achieve greater results and something like that. So I think there is a difference between those two.
I know it's kind of ironic, right? Like, people want reach, they want engagement. And one of the best ways to get there is to give.
Yeah.
But it's not what people do, right? They think they have to position themselves as the expert. And let me tell you, that's not really giving, right? Giving is, I had this experience, I'm going to share it with you because it might help you, right?
Yeah. But the thing is, I think short term, you get rewarded on social media for this, hey, I know what I do. Every product person does this 10 things wrong. Let me share what you could do differently or something like that. Yeah. So all the clickbait content is short term more successful. But I can tell you that I still, and that's a more personal story, but I still get so many leads from blog posts that I wrote for a German blog like 10 or 12 years ago. Because yeah. people still find these blog posts and still are attracted by what I wrote there. And they're Googling me up or ChatGPTing me up. I don't mind. And then they find out about me and my work and reach out and see if we can do some work together, right? So it is this 10, 12 years in between me putting energy into the community and getting something out on the other end. And this is sometimes how long it actually takes. Our story is rather similar, right? It's years in between meeting for the first time.
Yeah.
Share the story.
So I was speaking at Mind the Product. Was it London or San Francisco?
San Francisco 2019, I guess.
Okay. So it was San Francisco 2019. That's right. And I was a speaker. Petra was...
I was a speaker at the leadership event.
We had never met before. And Petra came up to me, introduced herself, and she gave me her coaching card deck. So Petra has this amazing deck of cards where every card is a different question that you can ask, like a reflection question. So powerful coaching questions for product people. She introduced herself, gave me her card deck, which was really nice. I don't remember if I had just spoken or I was about to spoke.
You were about to go on stage 10 minutes after or something like that.
Okay,
so you were already in the tunnel.
Yeah, here's what I remember. I remember being like, wow, Petra is full of energy and has this really cool card deck. I wish I was more present for this moment of meeting her. Because like, I was like, where's Hope? Where's Rick, my husband? I'm about to go on stage. Like, I remember being really distracted in our initial meeting. But I also remember like your enthusiasm and your energy. And it was like, we're talking about a 3-minute interaction at most.
Yes.
At most. Right. And that's how we met. Yeah. And then I don't remember how we connected again. I suspect it was probably another Mind the Product event that we were both at, hanging out with sort of the Mind the Product organizer crew. But what ended up happening was...
And at some point, we both started to write books.
Yeah, was that it?
Yeah.
I don't remember. I really think that like we just crossed paths a few times. We started to become familiar for each other.
Yeah.
And then Petra, you started writing your book like 3 months, 6 months before I did. Yeah. So you were always just a little ahead of me. And so Petra became my buddy for how to publish a book. For everything.
For self-publishing.
Yeah, for self-publishing, for everything. And we ended up building a connection around that. And now, like, we've referred clients to each other. We're doing podcasts together. We have
You came interviewed to each Hamburg other. Last year for the conference.
I spoke at your conference. We have interviewed each other for our blogs. We share a content marketing person that we've referred back and forth to each other and other people, right? Like, there's no way in that very first moment we would have known what came out of it. And I think like a few things stood out to me. Like I probably met 100 people that day. Why did I remember Petra? Well, Petra came with a ton of energy
and
enthusiasm. She offered a gift.
Yes.
She did not ask anything of me. And I'm going to compare this to what else I got that day. I can tell you what else I got that day. Another guy came up to me and started telling me, he's like, Teresa, I'm so excited to meet you. I'm like, okay, hi, so-and-so. And the very next words out of his mouth were, you're leaving so much money on the table in your business. You should write a book. And he started telling me what I should do in my business.
That's another episode to record. Man telling us how to run our business, Teresa.
Yeah. So I know it is on our short list. It's a spicy one. I can tell you, I remember that conversation. I don't remember that guy's name. I've never crossed paths with him again. I have no interest in connecting with him again. He thinks he might have been giving.
Yeah.
Right? That's not giving. He wasn't curious about me. He wasn't curious about my business. I was already writing a book. He didn't know that because he didn't bother to care or ask. Or maybe I had no interest in writing a book. He wouldn't know that either. He also made a claim that I was leaving money on the table when he had no idea how much money my business made or whether I was hitting my own personal goals.
Yeah.
Right? So like, that's the other part. I'm using this example because sometimes we think we're giving and we're actually not. We're trampling. So that's the other thing to remember. Like the difference between those stories for me is Petra came with energy and enthusiasm and shared something of herself. Here's a thing that I created. Here's why I think you would get value from it. This other guy advised. He mansplained, right?
Yeah.
Not a good example.
Yeah, and another thing is what I see oftentimes people not doing right when they're approaching our speakers at the conference, for example, because usually all product at heart speakers, so we're all Mind the Product speakers, are usually really approachable, just not right before their talk. Because even the most professional speaker is really nervous before you go on stage. A lot of them are hiding backstage. For example, I need to do this oftentimes because of my voice tends to break when I deliver the talk. So the 1 or 2 hours before that, I need to hide somewhere backstage. But after the talk, it's super easy to get hold of me. It's super easy to chat to me. I love to chat to people. And as you were saying, for example, when I do book signing or things like that, I always remind the people that share amazing personal stories or bring a gift or something like that. So for example, at a book signing in Hamburg last year, there came a team, it was a product lead, and he brought the book, Strong Product People, and asked me to sign it. And with him came his direct report. And she was so happy that he stumbled across the book and that he applied some of the things from the book in coaching and helped her grow substantially in her product management role, that both of them came to say thank you to me for writing the book. And it was such a lovely story. I still know both of their names. I have even written about them on LinkedIn. And that's the stories. That's the community that I'm talking about. It's really about putting the human first and really show interest and in the people that you're working with and that you're collaborating with and their struggles and their pain and what they're currently interested in. Another example from this 2019 event was, on our way out, I bumped into Barry O'Reilly. And we haven't met before. I knew who Barry O'Reilly is. Barry O'Reilly definitely did not know who Petra Villa is. And I just said, hi, Barry, I just briefly want to introduce myself, and did my little 30 seconds, hello, that's me. And he was, and I was mentioning that I'm considering to write a book. And he said, may I share my story about how I wrote the book? And then he shared the story about how he wrote Unlearn. If you want to look it up, it's online on his blog still. And that flipped my approach, how I was writing my book entirely, top to bottom, basically, because he did a lot of work with recording his thoughts, putting that into transcripts, and then work on the transcripts after he already had a recording. And that's basically how I wrote my book as well. It helped me tremendously. And I would not have learned this from Barry if I would have not kind of did this brief introduction. And he was totally not mansplaining me. He was like, hey, cool, you're interested in writing a book? I shared this. And he was like, do you want to hear how I wrote mine? And then he was really sharing this personal story. It was helping me tremendously. We're still in touch because of all of that.
You know what I love about that story is that the sharing he gave, right? You shared what you were doing.
He gave.
He said, oh, I've done something like that. Can I share my story with you? So he's
first of all, random person.
And he's not telling you what to do. He's saying, here's what worked for me. Like, it's a very subtle difference, right? If that other guy had come up to me and said, hey, I run my own business. I don't think he did. But if he did, he could say, here's the value I got from a book. It's a very different way
of giving. It's a very different approach. Yeah. So giving is important, and the way how you're giving and when, the timing is an important thing as well. Sometimes people are just not in the right mental space. And with a conference, for example, we often have this. People want to attend the conference, but they cannot afford the conference tickets. And then we get these two thoughts of emails. One is like, I want to be at your conference. How can you make it happen? I'm not so motivated to reply to these emails. And then there are the other emails where somebody is like, I really would love to be at the conference. I cannot afford the ticket. Is there any other way that I can attend all of it or some of it? I'm happy to do whatever it takes. And then we can reply to them and say there is a path, which is volunteering. And our volunteers get to see some of the talks. If you volunteer to work at our leadership event or workshops, that's the day before the conference happens, then you get to watch most of the conference talks, or basically all of them. So, and I answer these people, and I'm not answering to the people that ask me, what can you do to help me attend your conference for free?
Let me ask you a question. Have you ever given your volunteer response and had someone say, I don't want to volunteer, but I still want a free ticket?
Yes.
Yeah. So this is
very often, actually.
Yeah. I don't know that people who aren't in our positions get exposed to this. When we talk about taking, first of all, someone's asking for a free ticket. Conferences cost a lot of money. So let's just be clear here. They're asking you to take money out of your pocket and give it to them. They're asking for a free ticket. You're actually responding very generously with, here's a way you can earn a free ticket.
Yes.
And they still push back. I don't want to do that. Give me a free ticket.
Yeah.
This infuriates me because I cannot imagine being this person. You're taking and you're taking and you're taking, and you have no empathy for the other person at the other end of the conversation. They went out of their way to give you a path. They're trying to work with you, and you're still saying, no, I don't want to do that. And you didn't tell me that people replied with that. I've just been in a similar situation where I know for sure people have replied and said, but I don't want to do that. And that's fine. Yeah. You don't have to want to volunteer, but it doesn't mean you get to expect to get a free ticket.
No. And funnily enough, it's a good filter still, because the people that end up volunteering are the most amazing humans that you definitely want to have in your community, right?
Because
we always love our volunteers crew, and it's not rare. So we have several occasions where a volunteer turned into, so they said like, hey, what do I need to do to be a speaker? That's, for example, another thing, right? What do I need to do to be on the stage one day? That's a thing that I can easily answer. And you need a bit of practice speaking. We need to be confident that you can speak in front of a bigger audience, all these kind of things. So I can help people understand what it takes. And some really put in the effort. So they have been volunteering the first year. Then I see them return as a volunteer. And I already see that they do product tank talks in several cities. And they have their topics and they start claiming their topic. And so they're slowly making up their way to, I add them to our Trello board because I consider them a speaker. It not always works out because we're massively curating around topics. But still, I consider them a full-fledged session speaker at one of our events. But there's so many other people that never asked what they need to put in to become a speaker or even ask. And if we tell them, hey, look, this is approximately how we curate and this is approximately the rules and this is what we actually will be looking for, they never send us material. We never saw them speaking. And there is no point in putting somebody on a stage in front of such a large audience without any idea of how they behave in front of an audience. And if we then tell them like, sorry, but then we cannot consider you, they get angry. So it's not rare that this actually happens. So and that's not a commune. And we know that it's fine if we see these people beforehand, because we would not love them to add them to our speakers alumni group anyway.
We get this with our courses too. So we offer scholarships. So our courses are priced for a Western audience, right? It works great for the US and Europe. If you're based in India, if you're based in even sometimes Brazil, it's the price disparity is significant. And so we offer scholarships. You can apply for a scholarship for a discounted course. We used to give 100% scholarships. Like you would get the course for free, and we no longer do that. Here's why. You'd ask for a scholarship, you'd apply, you have to provide a lot of financial details when you apply. First of all, that cuts out 80% of people. Most people don't take the questions seriously. They don't actually answer them. Great, you're not getting something free from me. Good luck, right? Then people answer all the questions. We would give them a scholarship. Our classes are live taught classes where we do hands-on group activities. And if someone in your group doesn't do their homework or doesn't show up to class, it negatively affects the group.
That sucks for the others. Yeah.
Guess what our free scholarship students do? They don't show up to class. They don't do their homework. They don't contribute to their group. And they end up being a negative impact on our paid students. So we no longer give out full scholarships. We only give out partial scholarships because we want you contributing financially so that you take the class seriously. And even so, some of our scholarship participants are super grateful and they're some of our best students.
Yeah.
But some of them are super entitled. They don't show up. They don't do anything. And they create a negative experience for our paid students. And it's just another example of like they're willing to take, but they're not willing to give. And being a course student in a community-oriented course requires giving.
Yeah, and I bet that's something that you say beforehand. So they know that that is part of the deal.
Absolutely. Okay, so we've talked a lot about in-person. Let's talk a little bit about online, because I think we see some of these patterns online too. Like I know in a lot of Slack communities, almost every Slack community I'm in have a channel for like sharing your blog posts. And I see a lot of people join. And actually what really I laugh at is like, I'm in like 17 product communities and they'll all light up with a new message on the same day. And I'll go and look, and it's someone has just spammed their blog post to 17 different communities. Like, okay, that's not really giving. That's a lot of taking. Here, read my stuff. I think a more thoughtful way to do this is to actually participate in the conversation. Is there a conversation happening in the community that's related to your blog post? Great. How about contribute to that? And don't just contribute it with, I wrote a blog post about that. Maybe give the highlight and a little bit of detail and then say, if you want to learn more, here's a blog post about it, right? Because here's something we're seeing. Communities and definitely social media platforms, they don't want you leaving the community or the social media platform. They don't want people going out to your blog post. Yeah. So you have to figure out how to contribute value within the community. Not just, I want you to come read my blog post.
Yeah, I totally agree. And maybe that's the right time to shine a light on a different aspect of this whole community thing. Is I would encourage people to be more deliberate in deciding which community they want to play an active role in. Because I don't know how other people are doing it, but I can only be part of so many communities.
Yeah.
And I have some where I'm just part of the Slack group and I'm a rather passive member. It's more that I'm there if people want to write me a direct message. So that's for some communities, that's the reason that they can find me there and that it's convenient for them. And then there are other ones. And I think once or twice a quarter, people ask me, hey, we have this amazing community for, you name it, product coaches, conference organizers, whatever hat I'm wearing. Do you want to join? And I most of the time say no. And it's not because of the people or the community, but I know I cannot contribute in a meaningful yeah. way to another community. So it's impossible. And there's so many, I'm more a people person. I like to have these personal bonds. I like to know about. So we, for example, we have a fun in our Slack group that both Teresa and I are part of. We have this lean office kind of channel that I like, where everybody shares where they're currently working from, for example. And sometimes that sparks vacation ideas. And sometimes, but it's just like nice to know where people currently are and what's going on in their life. And it's all of the sharing personal struggles, sharing business ideas, sharing success moments, all these kind of things. And I like this more personal connection. That's just me. You can be an entirely different community yeah. person. But therefore, I cannot be, and I can handle a lot of people and a lot of relationships, but I cannot be part of 1 million communities because of that.
I think you're raising a really good point about quality over quantity. And I think this applies at all these levels. Like, you don't need to go to 20 conferences a year. Maybe pick one or two where you're going to really invest in the community and you want to go back and see your friends every year. Maybe you don't need to be in 25 Slack communities. You can pick one or two that you want to go deep with.
Yeah.
Maybe you don't, even on LinkedIn, like you don't, or just social media platforms. You don't need to be on every platform. I even do this myself. I recently culled my social media platforms. I used to be on Instagram and TikTok, and I do record short daily videos. Like, it's easy for me to stay on those platforms, but I don't use those platforms. So I don't know the culture. I don't know how to engage on those platforms. And I just realized, like, it's not for me. Like, I'm a writer, and I like to engage through written word. And so
yes.
for me, like, LinkedIn is better. Even on my short form videos, like, I'm still going to publish short form videos because I realize there's people that want to engage that way, but I'm going to do it on the platforms that I understand and that I know that I can engage on. And even so, my videos go to LinkedIn. They don't go to TikTok and Instagram. And even that as my filter, like, I'm probably, like, I don't really participate in the comments on LinkedIn that much anymore. And it's because the quality is so low.
Yes,
I would rather give my time to my own Slack community
yeah.
of discovery practitioners where I can ensure the quality stays high.
Yeah.
And so that's like, we all have limited attention. So I think there's this choosing where to play and how deep to go. I think
yeah.
you're probably better off going deeper in fewer places than
yeah.
shallow in a lot of places.
And the more junior you are, the earlier in your career you are, the more I would advise people to go for in-person and local than LinkedIn activities, for example. Because what you might be looking for in the long run are more mentoring relationships. So you're looking for a mentor. So you maybe are looking for a monthly lunch date with a more senior product person working for a different company. And if both of you enjoy, and then think about, if you ask the mentor to be your mentor, think about what you could give back to them. And if it's only, I don't know, cooking recipes, because this is your strong hobby thing, that's maybe it. But I really like if people think about, okay, is there anything that I could give back? And sometimes it's the most simplest thing. Sometimes it's a like for a blog post, share on LinkedIn or something like that. It could be really small things. So I think what we don't want to exchange a small thing for an equally small thing and big things for big things. That's another thing how communities not work, right? So maybe you ask for something big and the only thing that you currently can give is super, super tiny and super small, still offer it. It makes all the difference.
Yeah. And it's not about, I love this comment about the size of the offer and the ask, because this is not a transaction.
No.
It's like, we're talking about giving. We're not talking about buying and selling, right? Yeah. Like, it's a gift. And I think that's the right mindset for this stuff. I'm here to help.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I want to look for who can I help, how and when. And I get to decide how much I want to invest in helping. Right? Yes. I invest way more time in helping the people in my community than I do in the people in Lenny's community.
Yeah.
But I do participate in Lenny's community, right? If people ask discovery questions, I do weigh in. If you're in that community, you've probably seen me weigh in. Like, I am a member of that community and I do participate. But my level of investment is different. And part of that is because in my own community, I know people have taken my courses. I know they've read my book. I know that we have a shared foundation and I don't have to rewrite all the basics. When I'm helping in something like Lenny's community, I don't know if they've read the book and I don't want to rewrite my book in a Slack post, right? So that's the other thing, is that like, we get to choose our level of engagement. But I think the thing to remember is, especially in a community, you want to show up and ask the question, how can I help? Where can I contribute to this community?
Yeah, and it's more likely that people are going to help if it's clear that you, to some extent, did your homework. So, for example, if people ask me something that I wrote a blog post about last week and publicly shared about it, then it's kind of, then I'm always like, okay, then I still can send them the blog post. But I definitely know that they didn't even skim my website for 5 minutes to see if the answer is maybe there. So that's definitely another thing to consider if you approaching whoever, if you start being part of the community. So try to do a bit of onboarding for yourself to see like what are rules that this community is having. Some are really sharing the rules of community engagement. That's super helpful. And if not, then observe for the first few weeks and months to see what is allowed, and ask in doubt. So I think all of that would be a good idea as well.
Okay, I have to laugh because when Petra and I were discussing our topics for today, Petra said, I think I have a topic that should be fairly quick. Let's talk about giving and taking in a community. And here we are at 32 minutes, which I think is our longest episode yet. So
see,
I think we probably...
Estimation skills, not there. thank you, Teresa.
Yeah, thank you, Petra.